Okay, so you know the book of Job, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody's heard that story, right?
Yeah.
Righteous guy suffers immensely, all that stuff.
Right.
But what if I told you that there's a chance this isn't just an ancient tale,
Oh.
but like a carefully constructed thought experiment.
Okay.
Something made to make us really think.
That's a fascinating way to look at it.
Yeah.
And, it wouldn't be the first time somebody used a story to explore deeper questions. You look at, like, the parables of Jesus.
Right.
They weren't just nice anecdotes. They were designed to challenge people's assumptions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what the source material that we're going to be looking at today argues.
Okay.
This is an academic lecture on the Book of Job,
Okay.
and it delves into the genre, the literary structure, all the clues that suggest that this book is working on multiple levels.
So one of the first things that the lecture points out is how Job, while it is categorized as wisdom literature,
Right.
doesn't quite fit neatly into any subgenre.
It's weird, right?
It's got dialogue, it's got hymns,
Yeah.
these elaborate discourses. It's like a literary puzzle box almost.
Yeah. And it does feel like the author was deliberately mixing things up.
Yeah.
I have to admit, like, when the lecture suggested that even that scene in heaven, with God and Satan,
Oh, wow.
could be part of this literary construct, it made me stop and think.
It is a bold claim.
Yeah.
But I think before we get too thrown by that, it's important to remember that this doesn't necessarily mean that the author was trying to deceive anyone or that the message is somehow untrue.
Right.
What if they were constructing a stage, setting up a philosophical drama to explore these really tough questions about suffering and God's role in it all?
So instead of getting caught up in, like, did this actually happen?
Yeah.
We should be looking at how the story is being told.
Exactly.
Like, what tools is the author using to make their point?
Yeah, and one of the first things that jumps out when you look at Job through this lens is how extreme everything is. Job's righteousness, the level of suffering he endures,
Yeah.
even the arguments that his friends make.
It's all so extra, right?
It's all amplified,
Yeah.
taken to the nth degree.
It's like they're shouting at us.
Don't you think that's a deliberate choice on the part of the author?
Oh, it definitely feels intentional. It's like the author saying, look, I'm not interested in easy answers here.
Right.
I want to force you to confront the truly difficult stuff.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
By pushing everything to the extreme, the author eliminates those simple explanations
Right.
and forces us to grapple with the truly challenging philosophical questions at the heart of the story.
And it's not even just the events themselves that are stylized.
Right.
The lecture points out how, like, the speeches in Job,
Yeah.
they're too
They're too
eloquent.
structured
It's too structured.
to
Yeah.
be how people would actually talk, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like we're getting like the idealized version of these arguments.
Yeah.
What do you think the author's purpose is with this?
Well, it makes me think about the difference between, like, a news report and a philosophical essay.
Oh, interesting.
They can both be true,
Right.
but they aim to accomplish very different things.
Right.
One is focused on the facts and the details. The other one is trying to get at something more profound, something about the human condition.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It perfectly captures the distinction.
Yeah.
Job isn't just a historical account. It's about revealing profound truths about wisdom. It pushes us to contemplate those big questions about life, suffering, and our relationship with the divine.
And it seems like the structure of the book itself hints at this. The source calls it a sandwich structure. And
Yeah.
I have to admit, when they laid it out, it made the whole thing click for me.
Oh, the sandwich structure is so revealing. What stood out to you about it?
Well, you have the prose, prologue setting up the story, right? Then all those intense poetic dialogues and discourses. And finally, you get the prose epilogue to kind of wrap it all up.
Right.
But right in the middle of all that,
Yeah.
nestled between those two prose sections, is a hymn to wisdom.
It's like the author saying, hey,
Yeah.
pay attention here.
Right.
This is the key to understanding everything you've just read
It's like they're hitting us over the head with it.
and everything you're about to read.
Right. But if so much of this is potentially constructed, how can we be sure we're getting at the author's true message? How do we know we're not just imposing our own interpretations on the text?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is.
And I think the answer lies in trying to understand the author's intent.
Okay.
They weren't just throwing random elements together. They were carefully crafting a message. Figuring that out is the key to unlocking the book's true meaning.
So how do we go about doing that? What tools can we use to uncover that intent and make sure we're not just reading our own ideas into the text?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. And that's what we'll explore in the next part of our deep dive.
Can't wait.
We'll look at some specific examples from the text and see how we can use those clues to better understand the author's purpose and the wisdom they're trying to convey.
Awesome.
Yeah. Picking up where we left off, you know, if we consider Job as this thought experiment,
yeah,
it kind of helps us avoid some of those common theological pitfalls.
I'm curious about that. Can you give me an example?
Like, think about that scene in heaven.
Okay.
With God and Satan.
Mm.
If we take that literally, it raises some difficult questions about God's character. Does God really, like, make bets with Satan about our lives?
Right. It's like, are we just pawns?
Yeah. It's a concept that many find troubling.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But if we approach that scene as part of the thought experiment,
okay,
as a deliberate literary device,
okay,
it kind of takes on a new meaning, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a literal depiction of heaven, it becomes a way for the author to, like, set up this extreme scenario.
Right.
And force us to grapple with those tough questions about the nature of suffering and God's role in the world.
So we're not supposed to come away from that scene thinking, oh, that's literally how God operates.
Right.
It's more about using that dramatic setup to kind of, like, push us into deeper theological waters.
That's how I see it. The truth of the book isn't dependent on the literal reality of every event.
Okay.
The author's focus is on those wisdom teachings.
Right.
The profound insights that they want us to wrestle with.
So instead of getting hung up on, like, the potential theological implications of a literal reading, we should be asking ourselves, what is the author trying to teach us about wisdom?
You're hitting the nail on the head.
Okay, good.
It's about challenging our assumptions and inviting us to think more deeply, critically, about these complex issues.
It's like the author saying, forget what you think you know about suffering and the nature of God.
Yeah.
Let's dive into the deep end and really wrestle with these fundamental questions about existence.
That's a great way to frame it. It's a call to engage with wisdom, not to passively accept a story at face value.
And speaking of engaging with wisdom, the lecture highlighted this fascinating shift in the book.
Okay.
From dialogue to discourse.
Oh, yes.
Like, what significance do you see in that transition?
So the dialogue sections, where we see Job and his friends going back and forth trying to make sense of his suffering.
Yeah.
They present different perspectives, but it ultimately leads nowhere.
Right.
They're all stuck in their limited human understanding.
Like, they're all just dudes. Right.
Yeah.
They don't know everything.
Exactly. And then, you know, we have that hymn to wisdom.
Right.
Placed right in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
Just before the discourse section kicks in.
Yeah. I'm really seeing how that sandwich structure that we talked about.
Yeah.
Really emphasizes this, like, pivotal moment in the book.
It's not a coincidence. That's for sure.
No.
The placement of that hymn is a deliberate signal from the author.
Yeah.
It's as if they are saying, okay, you've heard all these human arguments.
Yeah.
Now let's shift gears and look at this through a different lens.
Okay.
The lens of wisdom.
It's like the author is elevating the conversation.
Yeah.
Taking us beyond, like, the limitations of human reasoning and into a realm of deeper understanding.
Precisely. And then in the discourse section, we're introduced to Elihu, a new character.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Offers a fresh perspective. And then finally, we hear from God himself.
Right, which is crazy. God's speeches are, like, truly awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
Filled with these powerful images of creation and profound reflections on, like, the limits of human understanding.
It's a humbling experience, isn't it?
It's like we're getting a glimpse
of
a reality that's far grander than we can fully grasp.
And it reminds us that we don't have all the answers.
Nope.
That there are mysteries we may never fully comprehend.
It's like if the author is saying, don't get so caught up in trying to explain everything. Sometimes the wisest thing we can do is simply stand in awe of, like, the vastness of creation and acknowledge the limits of our own understanding.
That in itself is a profound wisdom teaching, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's a call to humility, to open ourselves to the possibility that there are truths that lie beyond our grasp.
And that leads us to another important question.
Okay.
If we're supposed to be focusing on the wisdom teachings in Job,
right,
how can we be sure we're interpreting them correctly?
Right. That's huge.
After all, this is an ancient text full of complexities.
Mm-hmm.
How do we avoid simply projecting our own ideas onto it?
That's a really crucial question. It's easy to get lost in our own assumptions when dealing with, like, a text like this.
It is.
So what are some ways that we can guard against that?
Well, I think the concept of authorial intent is key.
Okay.
We have to remember that the author wasn't just randomly throwing ideas together.
Okay.
They were carefully crafting a message.
Right.
Our goal is to understand that message on its own terms, within its historical and literary context.
So it's not about, like, cherry-picking verses to support our pre-existing beliefs.
Right.
It's about allowing the text to challenge and even transform our understanding.
Exactly. It's about approaching the text with humility and a willingness to be surprised by what we discover.
Which brings us to the intriguing idea that the Book of Job may have been intentionally composed as a unified book.
Right.
Not just a collection of, like, disparate pieces.
That makes a lot of sense if we view it as a carefully constructed thought experiment.
Right.
The author wasn't just stringing together random stories or sayings. They were building a deliberate argument, a coherent exploration of wisdom.
So even though it contains all these different literary elements,
yeah.
the prose, the poetry, the dialogue, the discourse, they're all working together to achieve a unified purpose.
That's the idea. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to the structure, the transitions, the way the different parts of the book relate to each other. It's all part of the author's rhetorical strategy.
Okay.
The way they're guiding us toward a deeper understanding of wisdom.
I'm starting to see how all the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, my brain is getting a little full.
I hear you. It is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
The Book of Job challenges us to think differently, to question our assumptions, to embrace the mystery of existence.
It reminds us that sometimes the most profound truths are found not in easy answers, but in the relentless pursuit of wisdom.
And speaking of pursuing wisdom, we've been exploring how Job operates on these multiple levels.
Yeah.
As a story, as a philosophical exploration, as a carefully constructed thought experiment.
Right.
But what is the ultimate message, right? What wisdom do they want us to take away from this experience?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It is.
And I have a feeling the answer might be more complex than we expect.
It might be.
But that's a conversation for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've been on quite the journey with Job, haven't we?
We have.
We've seen how it's more than just a simple story, right? How it operates as this carefully constructed thought experiment.
Yeah.
Designed to kind of push our buttons, make us wrestle with some seriously profound questions.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left wondering, like, what is the ultimate message?
Right.
What wisdom is the author trying to impart to us?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It really is.
And I don't think there's a simple, pat answer. The Book of Job doesn't hand us a neat little formula for understanding suffering or a clear explanation for why bad things happen to good people.
Yeah, it's definitely not like a self-help book.
Right.
With five easy steps to solve all your problems.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Job is much more nuanced, much more challenging. It forces us to confront the complexities of life.
Right.
And the limits of human understanding.
So maybe it's less about, like, finding all the answers.
Yeah. And more about learning to ask the right questions.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Job pushes us to examine our assumptions, to delve deeper into the mysteries of existence.
Right.
To really grapple with the profound questions that have haunted humanity for centuries.
And that's probably why, like, Job still resonates with us today.
Yeah.
Even, you know, thousands of years later, we're still grappling with those same questions about suffering, justice, and our place in the universe.
The human experience hasn't really changed all that much, has it?
Nope, not really.
We still experience pain, loss, injustice. We still struggle to make sense of a world where bad things happen to good people.
And in a way, that's the genius of Job. It doesn't pretend to have all the answers. By refusing to offer easy solutions, it forces us to engage with these questions on a deeper level, to search for meaning and wisdom in the midst of suffering.
It's like the author is inciting us into the conversation, saying, look, I'm not going to give you a simple answer because there isn't one.
Right.
But I am going to invite you on this journey of exploration to wrestle with these tough questions alongside me and hopefully discover some wisdom along the way.
And that journey, it seems to me, is about more than just understanding suffering, right?
Right.
It's about our relationship with God, about learning to trust even when we don't have all the answers.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that God's ways are not our ways, that His wisdom is beyond our full comprehension.
Right.
But even in the midst of our confusion and pain, we can choose to trust in His goodness and love.
It's like that powerful moment at the end of the book when Job has that direct encounter with God, right? He doesn't get a point-by-point explanation for everything he's endured, but he does experience this profound sense of awe and wonder.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recognition of God's power and majesty that transcends human understanding.
That encounter is such a turning point for Job, right?
Yeah.
It's not about getting all the answers wrapped up in a neat little package. It's about experiencing the divine and finding a sense of peace and acceptance, even in the face of unanswered questions.
And that, I think, is a really powerful message for us as well.
It is.
We may never fully grasp why suffering exists or why bad things happen, but we can choose to have faith in God's goodness, even when life doesn't make sense.
It's a call to faith, to humility, and to a deeper understanding of what true wisdom really is. Sometimes the wisest thing we can do is acknowledge what we don't know and place our trust in something larger than ourselves.
Wow, this deep dive has really taken us on a roller coaster ride.
It has.
We've explored the depths of the Book of Job, uncovered its hidden layers, and discovered that this ancient text still has the power to, like, challenge and inspire us today.
It's a reminder that the most profound truths aren't always found in easy answers. Sometimes they emerge from those persistent questions.
Yeah.
The ones that keep us searching and wrestling and digging deeper.
And that's what the deep dive is all about, isn't it?
It is.
Taking a deep breath, diving into the complexities,
yeah,
and emerging with, like, a richer, more nuanced understanding of the world around us.
So as we wrap up our exploration of Job, I want to leave you with one final thought-provoking question to ponder.
Okay, hit me.
If Job is indeed this carefully crafted thought experiment, what is the author trying to reveal to us?
To us, yeah.
The writers.
Right.
What are we meant to learn from this staged drama?
Mm.
What does it say about our own assumptions about God, suffering, and the nature of wisdom?
Those are some heavy questions. I think I'll be mulling those over for a while. And who knows, maybe this is just the beginning of our exploration of Job.
Maybe.
There's always more to discover, more layers to uncover. Until next time, keep asking questions,
yes,
keep seeking wisdom, and keep diving deep.